Welcome to Simon Mann, ex-mercenary and author of the book Cry Havoc. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning.
Your book explores your adventures in Equatorial Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Angola. Do you see yourself as a mercenary or a freedom fighter?
I don't really see myself as either. I kind of reacted to situations that have come my way. And as you say, you know, that's Angola, Sierra Leone, then Equatorial Guinea. And, you know, for me, each one is a separate little story that just kind of happened.
You were pardoned by Equatorial Guinea's President Obiang. Why did he pardon you? Did you become his security advisor?
I didn't, no. I mean, I wrote a paper on security while I was a prisoner. I was delighted to have something to do, and that was just like 4 or 5 pages of poacher turned gamekeeper. No, I think it was very much him that pardoned me. He was under quite a lot of pressure to do so from various different sources. I actually had done a lot to help the Equatorial Guinean authorities with their inquiries in the course of my interrogation, and I think that was the key that got me out.
You've said that he's not the man-eating monster that some people claim, and in fact, Equatorial Guinea is going in the right direction. Maybe you can elaborate on that for us.
I mean, he gave me a pardon, and he treated me very well, and that counts to me, because it could have very definitely gone the other way. So clearly, that influences my thinking. But looking at the thing more objectively, if you like, there is no doubt that many important changes began to happen in Equatorial Guinea at around the time of my arrest, which is March 2004. And a lot of things started to move in the right direction. Capital projects, a build-up of infrastructure, and improvements in the treatment of prisoners and human rights. I would not argue with you today and try and say that Equatorial Guinea is in any sense a model state, but surely in a world where there are many countries which are not what the inhabitants would all necessarily want, Equatorial Guinea is not that bad, and surely the point is, what is the direction of movement? If things are in fact improving and this is a genuine effort to improve, then I think that's a very good start.
Would you say that Equatorial Guinea is as ripe for the taking now as it previously was?
I think not. Firstly, I think that Equatorial Guinea is moving in the right direction. For me, it was an essential part of the equation that made me decide to do that job, that by the information of the time, Equatorial Guinea was really a terrible, rank and ongoing tyranny. I mean, that was my information. The other thing which I think would put off another attempt is that they've done quite a lot to bolster their security. That makes it, I would say, at least twice as difficult as it was when we were looking at it.
Let's be candid for a moment. How much were you set to make from this coup if it was successful?
If I had been paid the money that it had been agreed that I would be paid, I would have got about £12 million paid to me by the state of Equatorial Guinea once a free and fair election had taken place and the new president, the president who we were putting in, Severo Moto, was in power. I would have hoped to have made more money than that downstream by investing it in the development which we hope to kick off.
Throughout the book, you talk of a figure called the boss. Why are you hiding the boss?
I wish I wasn't. That is entirely due to legal reasons. Had it not been for our use of that mask, this book wouldn't have been published.
Details of discussions with the former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher were also scrubbed from the book.
Yeah, that certainly has been reported.
Is it true?
There were things taken out, yes.
How does that make you feel?
When you write a book, I've never written a book before, you become amazingly maternal, I think is the best way of describing it. It's your baby and you become very, very protective and actually you resist every change. Those changes I resisted very, very hard, but in the end, it came down to change or don't publish.
You're helping with various investigations against certain figures like Mark Thatcher. Maybe you could give us an update on how they're progressing?
The New Scotland Yard case was closed about 4 months ago, basically because of the Euro warrant. The UK authorities, the Crown Prosecution Service, in fact, was unable to give me the protection that my lawyers felt I needed. So that then leaves the Equatorial Guinean inquiry, which is ongoing, and there is a case now in Beirut against one Eli Khalil and others. And I am a key witness of that ongoing case on behalf of President Obiang and the government of Equatorial Guinea.
From what you said in the book, Mark Thatcher was a key figure in this. How did he manage to get out of it?
He pleaded guilty in South Africa and paid a thumping great fine. I think he's got a suspended jail sentence down there as well.
Because really, you were the fall guy.
I don't know quite what you mean by fall guy. I mean, I was the guy running it. I was the guy with the troops and taking them on their way. You know, I was arrested. But then the other people kind of deserted me, if that's what you mean, yes.
So if another so-called boss approached you and said, Simon, we're interested in maybe putting something together, your reaction would be?
If the something was anything like the last thing, then my reaction would be, look, thanks very much, but no thanks.
Thank you very much to Simon Mann, ex-mercenary, and the author of the book Cry Havoc.